Well, good afternoon, folks, and once again, I thank the Lord for giving me this opportunity to preach His Word here at FBF. Now, while I was overseas, to relax, I like to study. And the Lord impressed upon me to put a study together about the life of Christ. A study where we can look at and behold our Lord Jesus Christ. I was able to put together 29, 30 foolscap sheets of notes. I'm currently still working on this subject. I do remember speaking on a similar subject about, I reckon it would be 30, 32 years ago, in another church that I pastored. And even though the start of the series of these messages starts at and even before our Lord's birth, I believe this is what the Lord would have me to speak on. Because as I consider these scriptures, I believe that they're some of the most important scriptures in the Word of God. It's a pity His first coming is usually only preached in December. December of each year, we hear many churches speak on the Lord's coming, yet they speak of many great events. There are many great people involved. The incarnation of Christ is a very important subject. And if there was no incarnation, there would be no crucifixion, there would be no resurrection, and there'd be no coming again. If there was not a first coming, there'd be no second coming. And so the first coming is very, very important. More important than just to remember on one day of the year. So I'm looking forward to bringing you messages on the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, folks, I'm going to start this new study. And we're going to take Pilate's advice, as it were, in a sense. In the Gospel of John, chapter 19, it records some solemn words. Please turn to John, chapter 19. I will just read the first five verses. John, chapter 19, verses 1 to 5. Okay. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns, put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, "Behold the man. Behold the man." In other words, gaze upon him. Study him. Take note of him. And folks, it is a high privilege, perhaps it's the highest privilege ever given unto man, that we should be allowed to contemplate Christ, to study his life, to know him, and to know him personally. In a special way, this privilege was granted unto those men that we call the evangelists or the evangels. They gave us the four gospels. And in these gospels, the fruits of their inspired writings, their inspired meditations, if you like, on our Lord Jesus Christ has been preserved for us. And I only preach from the King James Version because it's preserved by God for us. So we're going to be studying our Lord's life from his birth unto his death and resurrection. And it might take quite a few messages to do that. Each one of the Gospels has been written in their own unique way. And yet, they are all in harmony. They're all in agreement. And they all set out to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. I know we all love the Word of God. It is so deep that no matter how much we study it, we can only scratch the surface. And one of the verses I love in the Bible is in Luke chapter 24, 27. Don't need to turn there. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them and all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Beginning at Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, beginning at Moses, the first five books of the Bible, we call them the Pentateuch. And all the prophets. And David said at the Lord's table, all means all. And that's all means, all the prophets. And all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And folks, we have got to understand that the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, all the prophets, all the scriptures is full of our Lord Jesus Christ. Although he is not known by that name, but we see him in types, in shadows, in pictures, in prophecies. And the four evangels picture Christ in relation to the colors of the tabernacle. In Matthew writes of Christ as king, royalty. We just saw him with the purple robe and so forth. But Matthew writes of him as king. And of course, the king's color is purple. He was the son of David. Mark writes of Christ as servant, and the servant's color is white. Behold, my servant. Luke writes of Christ as a man, and the man's color is scarlet. John writes of Christ as deity from above, the blue of heaven. And in Exodus 26 and verse 1 it says this, moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen, that's white, and blue, and purple, and scarlet. And so the Gospels use these colors, as it were, to describe the Lord Jesus Christ. Purple, white, scarlet, and blue. All speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is fitting that out of the four Gospels, it was Luke's privilege to emphasize our Lord's manhood. After all, he was the beloved physician. He was a doctor. And as a doctor, he would have seen many a man, sick men, crippled men, very sinful men. But he'd never seen a man or heard of a man. He never saw a perfect man like this man of whom he now writes, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is a life of incomparable grace and beauty. He'd never seen anything like it or anyone like it. Here was 33 years, which some have called the Holy of Holies in the history of the world. And from babyhood through childhood and boyhood into maturity and perfect manhood, Luke gives us doctrinal and devotional glimpses into a life that was lived wholly dependent upon God and for his pleasure and for his glory. As we study this gospel, we will start, as it were, with the preparation for his coming. Then we will study, not today, but from the cradle to the crucifixion. Then from the womb to the tomb. And as we study this subject over the next few weeks or months, whatever the case may be, we look at the preparation, the annunciation, the incarnation, the adoration, the presentation, the subjection, the temptation, the humiliation, the crucifixion, the ascension, the intercession. We also look at his compassion, his transfiguration, and his resurrection. So it might be a while before we get through all of those things. May it be that we will be moved, as it were, to exclaim, "What manner of man is this?" And folks, there's now, praise God, a man in glory who was once down here known as the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. But now he's the man of sovereignty, ascended in glory, King of kings and Lord of lords. And it's our privilege to behold the man. We're going to start by looking at the preparation. The preparation. Many individuals are named in connection with our Lord's birth. On the one hand, there was the Caesars, Herods, Tetrarchs, and governors. And on the other hand, there were the godly souls like Zacharias, Elizabeth, Joseph, Mary, Simeon, and Anna, plus the prophets and the angelic hosts. And folks, sovereignty knows no boundaries. Sovereignty knows no limitations. The hearts of all men are in the Lord's hands. They're in the Lord's hands for the outworking of his own divine purpose, whether emperors or carpenters, kings or governors, priests or prophets, or indeed a humble maid, betrothed to a carpenter. All are used in his divine plan. Zacharias is at the altar in Jerusalem. Caesar is on the throne in Rome. Joseph is at his carpenter's bench in Nazareth. Mary, a humble maiden, awaits. Simeon and Anna are being prepared for his coming. And folks, nothing with God happens by accident. He is in full control, always was and always will be. Zacharias will become the father of the forerunner of Christ. Luke chapter 1, verses 11 to 16. Where was Zacharias? Well, he was in the temple beside the altar of incense, a priest working, and he did not believe. I'll speak more about that in just a moment. Joseph will become the husband of the maiden who is to be the virgin mother of Christ. Not, as the Catholics would say, the mother of God. No. The Son always was, and he came in the likeness of men and was born of a virgin conceived by the Holy Ghost. Caesar Augustus, in his supposed sovereignty, he thought he was sovereign, but in his supposed sovereignty, issued a decree, which unknown to him will bring Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem for the birth of their child, Jesus. And this is according to prophecy, of course. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 says, "But thy Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting." He always was. And well do we, who live, as it were, on the other side of their expectations, join in the songs of praise that he has come. When the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his only begotten Son. And so there was the preparation taking place. The preparation being complete, now we look at the annunciation. And of course, these announcements have been going on for some 4,000 years. And we want to turn to just a few of the scriptures. 4,000 years before Christ, these announcements were being made. Please turn back to Genesis chapter 3. Look, we know these very well, of course. But Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 says this: "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And it goes on to talk about the woman being greatly multiplied in sorrow and so forth in conception. But Genesis chapter 3 and 15 speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Please turn there if you would. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 says this: "For unto us a child is born." That child was Jesus Christ. "Unto us a son is given." That's the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, the Son of God, was given. The child was born, the son was given. "And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. All the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And so it's a prophecy of the Son that is given and who will ultimately reign on the throne of David. And then, of course, in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, it talks about the virgin who shall conceive and bear a child. Remember, the Lord said in all the scriptures — well, we haven't got time to go through all the scriptures — but Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 12, Isaiah 4 and verse 2, Jeremiah 23 and verse 5, Psalm 22, there's one that we all know, all speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before us as a tender plant, out of a root out of a dry ground. Is no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1. Just to name a few. So many more. Speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, a child was going to be born. Going to be born of a virgin. Someone who had never been with a man. This was a special person indeed. Would she be a queen? A wealthy woman? A sophisticated woman? Who or whom would God choose? Well, as we well know, it was a lowly maiden who lived in Nazareth of Galilee, which was far removed from the sophistication of Judea and away from the theological center of Jerusalem. Nazareth was, in fact, a town of ill repute. And it chose Mary of Nazareth. Mary lived a tender, pure, humble life. And God's eye was upon her. She was to be the earthen vessel which would mother the child that would be the savior of the world. She was divinely suited for this purpose. And Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, it says this. It tells us that God sent his angel. Verse 26. "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary." It was Gabriel who visited Mary with this heavenly announcement. It was Gabriel whose name means "God is mighty." It was Gabriel who recently touched and conveyed God's mind to Zacharias. It was this same Gabriel who centuries earlier had talked to Daniel about the coming Messiah, the Prince. His salutation is very beautiful. Luke chapter 1, verses 28 to 33. Luke chapter 1, verse 28 to 33 says this. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Not blessed art thou above women. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. What a wonderful salutation Gabriel brought to Mary. A wonderful message. He said, Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He would be the Son of the Highest. He shall be great. He would inherit the throne of his father David. I wonder if that message came to some ladies today, would they have believed? Mary did. He said, reign over the house of Jacob forever. And when you compare scripture with scripture, we see that in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, we have a very similar statement. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of his father David. Very similar to what Gabriel has said. Now, it's interesting to see Mary's next word. In verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, How? How shall these things be? Now, in verse 18, if you just look back there, it's a little bit different. In verse 18, Zacharias says, Whereby? And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? Very similar words. How? Whereby? The difference being, Zacharias did not believe, and he was made dumb. You know, Mary believed. Mary believed and was blessed, and she was given much more detail of God's plan, verse 35 to 37. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. These were incredible statements, folks. Would you have believed these things even in that day? Mary knew that the people would not believe. And apart from divine intervention, maybe Joseph too would not believe. But God moved in their lives. And Joseph was going to deal with this situation. He was a just man. Now, as we know, Mary lived in Nazareth, town of ill repute, but Mary lived a quiet, tender, pure, humble life, and God's eyes were upon her. She was the earthen vessel that was divinely suited for God's eternal purpose. Now, I just want to say this. Even in a very wicked, evil world, we can still live a life that is pleasing to God. Mary lived among much sin in the whole town of Nazareth. But she was an earthen vessel chosen by God because she kept herself pure and away from it. And there's no reason why, even in a wicked world, even in this evil world in which we live in, that we cannot live a life that is pleasing to God. God is in control. He has never not been in control. He watches, he sees, he hears, he encourages, he blesses, and he knows the way that we take. He knows every aspect of our lives. He watches us. He watches Leonie every day. He watches David every day. He watches Lee every day. Yeah, think Dorothy too. He watches Dorothy. He watches James. He watches all of us every day. He sees, he hears, he knows, he encourages, he blesses. Job knew this, and even with everything that happened in his life, Job was able to say, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Can we say that? In times of distress, blessed be the name of the Lord. Folks, the Lord never changes. He is immutable. He is the same God he was 1,000 years ago. He's the same God he was 5,000 years ago. He's the same God he was 1,000,000 years ago. We don't believe the earth is very old at all, but God always was. And he's immutable, and he never changes. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He saw Mary. He chose Mary. He sent his angel to Mary. He rewarded Mary. You know, the gift from the wise man. Blessed her with the greatest gift ever given to a woman, that she should be the mother of Jesus. Now, I need to explain this again, because many of another faith might listen in. Mary was not chosen to be the mother of God. God always was. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. She was chosen to bear and give birth to a child who was and never ceased to be the Son of God. Jesus was born, the Son being eternal was given. Hopefully that makes it clear. Now, as I said, Mary believed the words that were spoken unto her. And folks, that is a must. That was the word of God that was spoken unto her. If we want God's blessing in our lives, we must believe God's word. And God's word to us as we read it in the Bible. The question is, are we like Mary, verse 38, or are we like Zacharias, verse 20? Now, verse 18, I want to go back to there. Zacharias made all the humanistic excuses. Put it here. And the angel answering said unto him, "And Gabriel is standing in the presence of God, and I'm sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." I wonder what was going on. You see, it tells us way back in verse 11 and 12 that Zacharias was at the altar. Look at verse 11. "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense." Don't know if you've ever thought about this, And Zechariah saw him, and he was troubled for fear, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. Now, here's a godly man. Here's a priest. Here's a priest at work, standing beside the altar of incense, and he's praying. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, and he said, Your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear a son. He was praying for a son. Thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And then when we get down to that verse, it says that, whereby shall I know this? Verse 18. I am old. My wife was well stricken in years. So he's restricting God. And the angel answering said unto him, and I can only imagine that Gabriel might have been a little bit terse here. Can you understand it? I tried to put it in my mind. And the angel said unto him, Hold on. Didn't say that. He said, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. Zechariah, you've been at the altar praying. Your prayer was heard. Your prayer was answered. And you don't believe. And I'm come to tell you that what is happening. And he said, Behold, thy shall be done. I'm not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. Because thou believest not my words. You don't believe the word of God, which shall be fulfilled in their season. A godly man at the altar, praying for a certain thing, was answered immediately. And this godly man did not believe, even when an angel spoke to him. What's going on, Zacharias? What are you doing in the temple? What are you doing praying if you don't believe? He was a godly man, tells us he was a righteous man. But the angel said, because you did not believe, you're going to be done. You're going to be struck down. And Zacharias was struck down because he did not believe the word of God. Folks, what a privilege we have in these days. These days of war, these days of wickedness, these days of evil and rebellion, to have the word of God. But do we really believe it? Do we trust in it? Do we rely upon it? And folks, we are privileged in these days to contemplate our Lord Jesus Christ. Mary gave a beautiful answer. She said, Be it unto me according to thy word. Also, as if she said, I love this. I love the word of God. I love that you're talking to me. Be it unto me according to thy word. All around her, there would have been suspicion, as you can imagine, in those days. There would have been misunderstanding, maybe even slanderous talk and cruel insinuations. But even with all that going on, her beautiful submission comes forth. Luke 1:38, Be it unto me according to thy word. Are we gracious enough to say that, regardless of the situation? Be it unto me, Lord, according to thy word. And folks, even in these days, we must recognize when the Lord works in our lives. And sometimes he brings events and situations that we might never have imagined. Go back a month and look today and see the difference. Our sister Sandra called home. We'd hardly have believed it a month ago. I hope and pray that our attitude would be like Mary's. Be it unto me according to thy word. Even if it brings misunderstandings. Even if it brings cruel insinuations. Be it unto me according to thy word. Okay, from verse 39 to 43, we see the scene unfolding. Verse 39 to 43. And Mary arose in those days, went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And hence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me. Mary goes to Elizabeth. They rejoice together. The older woman and the young maiden. What a kindred interest they have in doing God's will. Folks, what a blessing to have kindred spirits in spiritual things. Did you notice verse 43? Elizabeth addresses the unborn child as my Lord. My Lord. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She recognized who was in the womb of Mary. She recognized God's glory was present. Now, Luke chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, He shall be great, referring to John. And Luke chapter 1, verse 32, it says, He shall be great, referring to Christ. Two great men were going to be born. And do you know what, in part, made John great? He recognized the greatness of Christ. In John chapter 3 and verse 3, he said, He must increase, I must decrease. Very interesting, considering that the Lord said of John, there is none greater. Luke chapter 7, verse 28. And John said of Christ, I am not even worthy to untie his shoes or his latchet, according to Luke chapter 3 and 16. Folks, this is true humility at work. And folks, may whatever greatness we think we have fade in the light of his greatness. Behold the man, his preparation. Behold the man, his annunciation. Wouldest thou be great? Then lowly serve. Wouldest thou go up? Go down. But go as low as e'er you will. The highest has been lower still. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, again we give thee thanks for the opportunity of coming to thy house this day. And we thank thee for the fundamental fellowship here at Penella. We commit unto thee Pastor Lee and Dorothy and all the other folks that come along. We pray, Lord, you just bring in those whom you would, that we might see some growth in the days that lie ahead. But according to your will, be it unto us according to thy will. So, Father, we commit and commend the rest of this service to thee in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen.